What does world champion boxer Ryan Garcia have in common with controversial singer Lil Nas X? Today, we're going to take a critical look at conspiracy shared by Ryan Garcia that had the world talking. We're going to go over some of his claims, fact check some theories such as Bohemian Grove and the worship of Moloch, before discussing Lil Nas X, which is ironically proving some of Ryan Garcia's conspiracies of Antichrist puppet masters to be true. His latest album took his heresies to new levels, and we're here to talk about it. My name is Isaac Weishaupt, and I've been podcasting for over a decade, and I've written 9 books on occult conspiracies hidden in pop culture, and you're going to join me as we take a rational, non-judgmental look at conspiracies and talk about the spiritual battle that's happening, regardless of whether or not you want to believe in it. Welcome back, everyone. This is the April bonus episode, only for the supporters. That's right. You know the deal. I got supporter feeds because I got 8 kids to feed. I'm joking. And you already know the drill. Supporters get all the bonus content. We do monthly bonus shows on top of monthly, bi-weekly, I guess, Twin Peaks episodes. A lot of people get confused. I'm doing my regular podcast shows on the free feed for the free feed losers. Then I'm doing the monthly bonus episode for all the supporters. Then I'm also doing monthly, more than one a month. I'm doing bonus Twin Peaks Grey Lodge episodes. So you're getting tons of bonus content right now if you're on the supporter feeds. 3 places you can go: patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or Apple Podcast, the premium. You just hit the button, easiest one there is, or IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab. Get into the VIP section. I'll send you a little personalized video and help you get it hooked up. Okay? Those are your 3 options. Links are always in the show notes. If you're already on the supporter feeds, thank you. You already know the drill. You've already joined, and you're the best. You keep the show alive. I say that. I mean that. That's you guys. I appreciate you. So every month, I give you bonus content on top of all the other stuff we're doing. Okay? And today, this is April. It's the April bonus episode. We're going to talk about Ryan Garcia's claims and conspiracies right before his big fight on April 20th, on 420, by the way. We're going to look at what's real, what's not, the claims that he's been making about Bohemian Grove and Moloch cults, Molochian cults, drama with him and Ye, Kanye West. And then we're going to shift gears into Lil Nas X and his new album, and some now deleted social media images that, guess what, your boy got copies of them before he deleted them. So we're going to talk about them. And this new music video of Lil Nas X that pushes his heresy to new levels and hidden symbol of the Baphomet. He thought he could hide it. I caught it. I saw it. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to expose these Satanists. Get your Christian warrior hat on today, folks. You got high T Christian warrior Isaac in the house today. It's Orthodox Great Lent, so we're exposing Satanists. That's our Lent. I haven't done one thing Lenten. I've been praying every day, but that's not new. I haven't gone to church. I was supposed to go to church this weekend. We'll see. I haven't been doing the Lenten fast. You know, it's hard. Being a Christian's tough. Being an Orthodox Christian is sometimes even tougher. But you're not here to talk about orthodoxy. You're here to hear about Ryan Garcia and Lil Nas X. Oh, and before I forget it, I'm going to do a whole little podcast announcement at some point here. I don't know when, but I want to give you a heads up, my dear listeners. I'm doing a live event show. That's right. You might have already seen it. You might have saw the email. You might have saw my social media. I'll put the link in the show notes if I remember here. You can go to Eventbrite and join me. Join me in Las Vegas. I'm going to do a presentation about Eyes Wide Shut. You're going to get 6 hours of infotainment. You're going to get my road dog, Jay Dyer, and Jamie Hanshaw, longtime collaborators and friends of this show. And not only that, but they're bringing the Hollywood celebrity himself, Jamie Kennedy. That's right. The Jamie Kennedy is going to be there too. You're going to get some comedy. You're going to get some impersonations. You're going to get some conspiracy theorizing. It's got everything. You've probably already seen the post on social and email, so I'm not going to keep talking about it, but I'll put the link in the show notes. You got to get your tickets before they sell out. This might be my last one because I might not do it again. I'm too introverted. I'm already got anxiety. I'm already losing sleep over this thing. I don't know why I did it. I just get, I'm excited to do it. I've long wanted to do it. And Jay, he opened the door for me, and I said, okay, no more excuses. I got to do it. So we're going to do it. I'm going to get over my fears. I'm not too scared. but I do have anxiety. But you know, I've done tons of presentations in my lifetime for work, so shouldn't be that big of a deal. I don't know. It's easy at work because you just got people listening to your stuff, you know. But when you're doing conspiracy stuff, I don't know what they're going to say. Are they going to say, "You're an idiot. What are you talking about, moron?" Oh, yeah, Stanley Kubrick knew about the Illuminati. Well, come tell me why I'm wrong, all right? But it's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good time. We're going to do a meet and greet. I'm going to sign some books for you. I'm going to sell you some Grifter Alley shirts, and we're going to hang out. You can talk to me. You know what I want you to do? I want you to, because I should be, the schedule as far as I saw was Jay's going to open up with a little opening comments and some great impersonations. Then I'm going to go up and do my spiel for about an hour on Eyes Wide Shut. And then I'm going to sit down and relax. And if you want to come talk to me, I'll talk to you. I'll talk right through Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw, and Jamie Kennedy. I'll talk to you. You know, I want to hear what those guys have to say. But if you want to talk to me, I'll listen to you. We'll go outside. We make fun of Jay Dyer. I'm just kidding. We love Jay Dyer. My ortho bro. Okay, right, enough. Ryan Garcia. Who's Ryan Garcia? He's one of the biggest names in all of boxing. World champion boxer. One of the largest social media followings there is. He's got 11 million. I mean, I actually retrieved this data a couple months ago, so this might be old numbers. 11 million followers on Instagram. He's got 6 million followers on TikTok. That's some reach, folks. Now, as far as boxing, he's 24-1 with 20 KOs, and he's only 25 years old. And his next fight is going to be on April 20th. And you're probably wondering, who cares? Let me tell you what happened. I'm going to read you from market.com. I think it's a boxing website. And then we're going to kind of dig deeper into it. Because he was all over the news. It says, Garcia apparently wrote on X that he was hacked and nobody could do anything to stop it. He wrote that he had a picture of a real alien and alerted the entire UFO community. Everybody wanted him to post that, but the messages simply got increasingly weirder. Folks thought he was hacked, but then he appeared on an X space. That's like a little live chat thing. By Andrew Tate's request. That's when Ryan Garcia started saying some concerning stuff about the so-called elites and Bohemian Grove. Well, isn't that something? Andrew Tate and Ryan Garcia on Twitter Spaces, and they said all kinds of stuff, and I listened to it. You can listen to it right now if you want. I think the first one's about 20, 30 minutes, and they did a second one. He said all kinds of things, like how they held him down and they made him watch abuses of other people happen. He said, because Andrew Tate was somehow the voice of reason in all this. And he said, hey, Ryan, because Ryan was a little, what's the right term? I don't know if eccentric's the right word, but he didn't have a sort of, it was a little all over the place sometimes. And that's not me talking trash. I'm not saying always a nut job. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't a clear, cohesive, like, hey, everyone, I want to expose this thing. This is what happened to me. It was kind of just like blurts of stuff. And Tate was like, hey, you gotta calm it down a little bit. And he said, because Tate was like, aren't you worried they're going to get you? And he said, they can't touch me. I'm a god. Which is interesting when we later talk about Kanye West and the claims he made against Kanye West. And Andrew Tate assures him that they can definitely touch him, which I agree with Andrew Tate here. Not often I agree with Andrew Tate, but hey. Garcia claims that he's got proof on his phone of all this stuff. He said, if Alex could get video of Bohemian Grove, so can I. He talks about how he was RAPED'd at 2 years old and that he has proof of that. And I spelled that out. And I know in the past I just say the words, but I don't know why I'm putting stuff on YouTube again, so bear with me. I will selectively choose when and when I won't say certain words. And for no reason at all, I decided to spell that out. Garcia says that he's not on drugs. Andrew Tate tells him he needs to put together a more cohesive story so people don't just say that he's on drugs. I agree. Andrew Tate asks if he's releasing any of this info, and Garcia says at the right time he'll release it. and they are meeting with him to tell him to stop talking like this and threatening to release it. He said they listen to the devil and he listens to God, so they can't stop him. And this is what bugs me about all these celebrities. They say they're going to expose all these people and they got all the info and all the receipts and all the photos and stuff, and they never release it. And it's like, bro, that's what makes me not believe it sometimes, because I think if you really are concerned that these people are into the things that we're claiming they're into, and you have evidence, and now you're exposing it, you have to release the evidence first and foremost. You have to. Because if they could take you out before you release it, like, that's their motivation, right? So they chat about Alex Jones, and Andrew Tate says they've done a good job to make Alex Jones sound crazy, so he's allowed to say whatever he wants. He talks about them auctioning off kids and drinking blood and, you know, kind of the what people would say Q adjacent type things. But let's go to his Twitter timeline. If it goes back to February 29th, he posts an image of Diddy, you know, everyone's, you know, the bad boy, Diddy. He posts an image of Diddy with who I'm thinking is Lil Rod, shirtless in a pool. But again, it's like, that's not really a receipt. I don't know. Like, what are we looking at here? Is that, I mean, if standing with a shirt off with another man in the pool is gay, then I guess I'm really gay. I don't know. And even, you know, and like I always say, even if Diddy's gay, who cares? Who cares? Why do people care anymore? Move on. There's other things to worry about. Even if you're, you know, you believe there's a spiritual thing, so what? That's their life. Let them choose. That's the beauty of God. God's the judge. You don't have to worry about it. In fact, he tells you not to judge. So mind your own business. Who cares? And I actually, anyway, you know my stance on it. I'll shut up. Then on March 2nd, he says, big story coming out in regards to how I acquired this wealth. Even if I didn't include my fight with Devin, that's the guy he's fighting on April 20th, I have and will have over $1 billion. Okay. All right. I'm listening. Then he starts messing around with Jake Paul on March 2nd, talking about how he introduced Jake Paul to boxing, and now he's being disrespectful with everything, I guess because he's fighting Mike Tyson in June, or July, I'm sorry. Then he says, then he writes to Jake Paul, you know, F-U-C-K-U. Then on March 3rd, he posted a video, which is now gone, saying that March 3rd, Sunday 2024, we slit RG throat and threw him in a basket. Nobody will find him. Then a bunch of letters like he passed out on a keyboard that says Satan sitting at the top now, 666. That's concerning, right? What the heck is that? He's obviously talking about, when he says RG, he's talking about Ryan Garcia. But why would he talk from the point of view of, he's saying we slit his throat, put him in a basket, nobody's going to find him. And Satan and all this stuff. It's kind of weird. Then on the next day, March 4th, he posts video about how he's locked out of all of his accounts. He doesn't have his phone. And he says, I'm not dead. I believe in Jesus. And about how they're blocking his cards, his money, and they're trying to put him in jail. Then on March 6th, Garcia posts video of Bohemian Grove. The video to that YouTube. Remember, I did a deep dive on this. When did I do that? I did a deep dive on this video because I found a lot of strange things that nobody seemed to talk about. You know, because I'm so great. I found it all. Bohemian Grove. When did I do it? Was that a bonus show? It might have been a bonus show. Oh, man. I don't know. Sorry. Sorry, folks. I'm looking it up right now. I thought it was, didn't I do a show about Bohemian Grove? I thought I did. Because there's this guy who infiltrates Bohemian Grove, and he posted it to YouTube. And I mean, I'll be darned if I didn't do that. Oh, I'm going to have to dig into that. I got the notes for it somewhere. Anyway, I'm sure I did it. But this YouTuber, he infiltrated Bohemian Grove, took footage of the owl, and there was I remember there was one part where he, on the film, he had a marker board, and the marker board had names, and it had what appeared to be female names with ages under 18 next to them, if that's what the numbers indicated, linked up with male names. And for whatever reason, no one talked about that. I said, what the heck is that? But he posted that video. Then he posted Alex Jones's video. So he's alluding to the idea that he still has the Bohemian Grove stuff, or he's been there. Then he posts, I'm healthy and I don't have medical issues. Then he posts a trailer to Spotlight. That's the movie about the Catholic priest messing with the kids and it being covered up by, I think, the New York Times. And then I think it was the Boston Globe who went and exposed it in the, you know, 2000s sometime. And it's funny because me and Josie went to go see The Big Short, that movie about the housing collapse. And we accidentally bought tickets to Spotlight. And we were 15 minutes in. They were talking about priests messing with kids. And I said, I don't think this is the right movie. So that was the first time I saw Spotlight. It's a dry movie, I think. Josie loves it. She thinks it's great. I think Michael Keaton's in it. And what's the dude? The Incredible Hulk guy's in it. Then he says, I changing the Pope name to Poop. Odd. Then he shows Google results of child SA. Then he posts a tweet that says, they actually have the files of Jesus, the Ark of the Covenant, the Giants, the Clones, the Aliens, files on everything. They are the ones that let me in, played the ass. Then he said, what about Gaza kids being killed? I hear the cries. I'm sorry it took me so long to stand up for y'all. Then he said, prayers for Jerusalem, please, as the Bible requires you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Although it is wrong, the killing everywhere on both sides, I'm calling for peace. Then he said, June 6th, earthquake bad. And that tweet wasn't on his feed, so I can't confirm if that's real. So many media outlets were talking about it. It's got to be, I think. I saw it posted on Daily Mail, and the actual article was called... Or no, he had also... I'm sorry. Let me back up. He tweeted that, but then there was another tweet elaborating on it that was apparently deleted, but I can't confirm it because I didn't see it. But Daily Mail says that it said... Earthquake will strike L.A. and destroy Hollywood and Vegas, a.k.a. Sin City. Well, I hope that's not true because me and Jay Dyer and Jamie Hanshaw and Jamie Kennedy are going to be there June 22nd. But if an earthquake destroys all that, then we won't be there. And I'm sure we can get some refunds going. But we'll see what happens. Then he says they auction off kids. Then he posts an Ice Cube video of him talking about how he's not in the club. Then he does a Spaces, an Ask Me Anything Spaces that he called And Now We Begin. You can listen to it. It's about a half hour. It's very painful. I gave up halfway in. And he's talking about how they're in the woods spreading kids' beeholes and drinking blood, which was interesting because isn't that what Michael Jackson's accusers claimed that Michael Jackson did to them, made them spread beeholes? And I don't know why you want anything to do with that, but that's what they said. Then he talked about how the people ask for the evidence, but he won't share it because then they're going to go after his family. Maybe, I don't know. Then he keeps talking about Jesus and how this is about protecting the kids. And then it starts to click that I'm like, okay, did this guy go down this sort of MAGA QAnon rabbit hole, right? The room that he had that AMA, one of the moderators was a guy named Patriot Space, and it had Trump's face on it. I don't know. I don't agree. You know, I think Bob Lazar, when he showed his face, he was saying, like, I got to do this to protect myself. Because otherwise, I'm just this anonymous guy. They're just going to take me out. And I feel like that's what Ryan Garcia should consider, too. Is like, if you got the evidence, bro, you got to release it, man. And I also think that the QAnon Save the Children movement is, you know, I don't disrespect it at all. I think that it's misdirected anger. I think that that is a political psyop to try to get people to go down this sort of Trump rabbit hole. And, you know, my personal beliefs is I just don't I don't know. The whole Q thing is sketchy at best. He says that he's not writing or tweeting about anything besides his fights now. And it's interesting because the media outlets describe this tweet saying that he took a vow of silence, which is a very occult thing, right? Going back to the first secret society with Pythagoras and his initiates had to take, I think it was a 5-year vow of silence. They couldn't talk. Then the vow of silence is the vow of Harpocrates, which is basically you will not reveal the secrets. Okay, and then we're on to March 10th. He does another spaces. God is everything. And he's talking about his spiritual beliefs. Okay. Then on March 10th, on his Instagram, he's teasing an interview of, he was on the really good podcast with Bobbi Altoff, which I think I've talked about her before. She, you know, she was all over the news. I don't know how she got famous, but she did. She does these interviews that are very dry and sarcastic. She interviewed Drake infamously in her bed in a hotel. And the allegation is that she then later slept with Drake, and because then allegedly her husband found out and then he filed for divorce after that. So the theory is that Drake slept with Bobbi Altoff. And what's interesting is that if you look at Bobbi Altoff, her management is the same management as Drake's team. So she's kind of under Drake's umbrella. More to come on that. If you go to foxla.com, there's a post, which is now down, but I grabbed it already. It said, it's just referencing the thing I talked about earlier. Sorry, my notes are a little out of sorts. It talks about that video. It says, Garcia shared a shaky video with disturbing captions that read, Ryan Garcia, RIP, and we got him. The disturbing post has remained on his Instagram page, which the boxer claims he has no access to. And then if you go to Daily Mail in regards to this video, it says the 25-year-old fighter first appeared to suggest that he was dead after having his throat slit in a worrying video on Sunday, before alleging that he was RAP'd by a family member as a child. His other astounding and unproven claims include witnessing child RA. You know what, after being tied down in the woods by the elites, an earthquake headed for Hollywood and Vegas on June 6th, and ex-chief Elon Musk being the Antichrist. So why are we keep talking about this? It's because the vow of silence is the, you know, in the Freemasonry and the secret societies, they do it as a way of saying that the initiate will keep his mouth shut about all the secrets of the occult. Another way they express this in Freemasonry and allegedly in the secret LDS temple rituals or whatever, they indicate having one's throat slit by dragging a finger across the throat. So we've got a couple occult symbols here. Now, since his Twitter stuff, he kind of reined it in a touch, but lots more happened. A couple weeks later, we're now at April 3rd. He asked 50 Cent to walk him out for his fight on April 20th with Devin Haney, and he said, no diddy, which is like the new no homo, right, in the hip-hop community there. And he said he also offered this walkout, offered a yay, but thinks yay declined because he's buddies with Diddy, and he didn't like that he said no diddy. And then Ryan Garcia dumped a ton of tweets aimed at Ye, Kanye West, making fun of his claims of being the new Jesus, which is ironic because he said he was God earlier. Ryan Garcia said that. Remember that? Let me find the direct quote. Where did he say? He said they can't touch me. I'm a God. And then he's making fun of Kanye saying that he was the new Jesus. And I'm like, I don't know. Isn't that the same thing here? Aren't these both heretical things? They are. He was alleging that Kim puts her fingy in Kanye's beehole. And he says, you're a bum. To Kanye West, he says, you're a bum. Facts. And how Ye supported a genocide and that Diddy is Ye's daddy and all kinds of stuff. Referring to Ye's somewhat white supremacist-esque interests and statements and clothing and things like that. And that Diddy is Ye's daddy, which is interesting because you recall we did that Diddy show and we talked about how Ye and Diddy had texted and Ye called Diddy a fed, but then somehow at the same time, Ye was giving the Lifetime Achievement Award to Diddy on the BET Awards, which I thought was odd if they were, you know, out of sorts. Then on April 14th, Ryan Garcia says that Kanye West is walking him out. After saying that Kim puts her fingy in his beehole, now Ye's walking him out. Then the same day, he showed up with the other fighter, Devin Haney, to the Mets stadium. They were supposed to throw out the first pitches. I guess like a two-fold sort of pitch throw because the event, the boxing event on 420 is going to be at the Barclays. And they both showed up, but then they got booted out because apparently people were worried about these two getting into it out on the field. Ryan Garcia then tweeted, "I will expose the Mets so bad and the MLB." Okay. And then Garcia said he's going to throw a 200 mile per hour fastball. 200 miles an hour? I mean, that would be something. That would 100 mile an hour would be something. 200? Okay. Then on April 16th, now we're at the Empire State Building. Ryan Garcia accuses Devin Haney of a hate crime on Tuesday. I'm recording this on Wednesday, April 17th, by the way. So this is yesterday. Ryan Garcia accuses Devin Haney of a hate crime on Tuesday after he was shoved by his forthcoming opponent. And claimed he now identifies as a woman as his erratic social media activity continued. The pair will fight this Saturday at the Barclays Center and were atop the Empire State Building when things got chippy, with Haney eventually pushing Garcia in the face. The two had been jawing beforehand, with Garcia being heard saying, "Where's your mom, B-word?" And afterwards, Garcia said on X, "Devin touched me without my consent. I'm suing him for putting his hands on me, and I identify as a woman," he continued. "So he touched me as a grown man and hit a grown woman, and I'm LGBTQ+, so now it's a hate crime. Nah, this is so effed up." Garcia further added that he thought Haney was going in for a kiss, no cap. I was evidently not affected by the push, as he said, "I ate that weak ass push." And look, that's petty. That's this whole thing where people with the, you know, they get so mad about the LGBT thing and then they, "Oh, I identify as a thing now." Like, that's kind of petty, right? Isn't that petty? But anyway, so and then there's another one I missed. April 15th. Garcia said that Bobby Altoff did sleep with Drake. He knew this apparently because he did a show with Bobby Altoff, who's a female, in case you don't know who that is. I know there's a lot of like gay talk going on here today, but Bobby Altoff is a female, okay? But Ryan Garcia said that Bobby did sleep with Drake and that Ryan claimed that he kissed Bobby Altoff while they were together. And then he leaked these DMs as, I don't know if that he thought it was proof, but if you read them, it's just him and her talking about setting up the recording of the show. So, I don't know. In conclusion, let's wrap all this up with Garcia and then we're going to get into Lil Nas. Did Ryan Garcia do all of this for publicity to sell tickets to the fight? Maybe. Strong maybe. It's hard to say, right? This stuff used to get you canceled, and it arguably still does. But now I sometimes wonder if social medias don't actually eat this stuff up because it's controversial. And it's hard to say because more people are conspiracy-minded. It's a tough call. I mean, if you asked me, if you forced me to have an opinion on all of this, I don't think he's got any of these receipts he claims he has. Otherwise, he would have released it. And he's been saying and doing a lot of things that are seemingly pretty erratic. I don't know if that's, you know, mental illness or being, you know, you take a lot of blows to the head as a boxer. Maybe there's a traumatic brain injury, just like Kanye West. He had that car accident. I think he has a traumatic brain injury that makes for erratic behavior and statements. Which is sad, right? Like, I'm not, I don't think that's funny. I think some of these people need help. And when people become famous and have lots of money and wealth and pull and fame and power, I think the people around them struggle to get them help because you find enablers. Or maybe he's not, maybe he's making all this up and just raking in the dough on selling tickets. I mean, I wouldn't have cared about the Ryan Garcia fight. I wouldn't have known who he was if it wasn't for all this. And now I kind of want to see the fight. Dude shredded, though. I see. Anyway, he's a boxer. Anyway, so let's look at the claims a little bit more. When he says they mess with kids at Bohemian Grove. Well, at Bohemian Grove, the motto is infamously, "Weaving spiders come not here." And that comes from Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, specifically Act 2, Scene 2, which if you listen to my Saltburn film analysis we did, I don't know, a year ago, you already know this. And this ties into many conspiracy theories like A Clockwork Orange, because Ludovico is a Shakespeare character. And Shakespeare allegedly was Francis Bacon. It kind of goes deep. Also, Cat Williams and Joe Rogan, they just talked about a journalist who posted, There was a journalist who died. He was exposing General McChrystal's statements that McChrystal was making against the president at the time, which I think was Obama. And then the journalist mysteriously dies in this car wreck that Joe Rogan was saying that maybe they have the, you know, he had heard a video where Intel operatives were saying they had the technology to remotely control someone's car. And all of a sudden this journalist dies for exposing General McChrystal, the commander of the special forces, you know. All very suspect. But what's more suspect is that General McChrystal was in fact at Bohemian Grove. Very strange. And I went through the YouTube video and like I talked about, man, I should have wrote, I'm going to have to dig into that, man. Let me make a note. I'm going to put a note here. Find the Bohemian Grove. I know I for sure took notes. I swore I did a whole show talking about this video I seen. But anyways, we talked about the marker board. So the marker board thing was very suspect. It looked like it had female names with what looked like ages all between, I think, 8 and 18, which is disturbing. Then there's a book called Cult of Conspiracy, which written by the guy who went to Bohemian Grove with Alex Jones. And it talks about how women were, in fact, at Bohemian Grove. Strippers and prostitutes, right? Not kids. But Kathy O'Brien, who wrote Transformation of America, who also said she was in this sort of ring of elites abusing, you know, and kids. And O'Brien talked about being forced to go to Bohemian Grove and being forced as a kid to film this adult entertainment, which ties us into this whole blackmail thing. Filming these things like Epstein did, allegedly for Mossad, as well as Diddy, allegedly for who knows what. And now Kathy O'Brien, she talks about how they were doing this at the Bohemian Grove long before any of this came out, because she wrote that book in the 90s, in 1995. So all of these claims, which, you know, I'm right there with you. I look at it, I think, I don't know. This seems absurd. You know, you read Kathy O'Brien, you're like, Bob Hope and Ronald Reagan were doing this stuff, or whoever she names. I think those are the names. It's kind of hard to believe. But I mean, I don't know. You told me 30 years ago that the royal family was messing around with little kids on Epstein Island. I'd say, what? What are you talking about? And then we got Moloch. He's talking about Moloch a bunch. And this goes back to the golden age of Saturn worship, as Hesiod explains in his Works and Days book, because these occult cultures, they worship different gods. And for Saturn, the Romans had worshiped Saturn, Saturnus. The Greeks called it Cronus. And the Carthaginians called it Moloch or Baal. And all of these gods were known for devouring children as blood sacrifices. And some would even claim that the Tree of Knowledge, the fruit from the tree of knowledge, is a reference for cannibalism, for eating kids. Like, I've heard people say Cain ate Abel translates to cannibal. But Moloch, he was, you know, this horned deity and associated with Baal, Cronus, Saturn, and they're supposed to be consuming kids. And there were Baal or Moloch fires in the Valley of Hinnom in the Bible that they discuss. And in Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages, he said that magicians would contact demons to make gain for themselves. And he included the archdemons Satan and Moloch, and said that they would lead to understanding and wisdom. So, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know if it definitely happened, but people definitely talk about it like it happened. But why do they do it? It's, like I always say, it's a thing about gaining wisdom, enlightenment, and power. Making contact with these entities so they can become God. That's what it always boils down to. Making contact with entities. If you read Aleister Crowley, he calls it the Holy Guardian Angel. And it ties into the aliens and UFO phenomenon. But it could be done through the Dionysian ritual of overloading the senses, right? But the whole idea, and if you read, in fact, I've got it right here, Mario Visconti's book, The Aleister Crowley Manual, which I talked about on, if, I don't know if you listened to Breaking Social Norms, I did an episode where I talked to Josie about our trip to Austin, Texas, and I actually went into the University of Texas Harry Ransom Center, and me and Dr. Anteater went through all of the Aleister Crowley manuscripts. I touched the original book of the law that he wrote by hand when he was communicating with his holy guardian angel, AWAS. But in Mario Visconti's book, he says the whole goal is to make contact with your holy guardian angel. That's an external entity without any uncertain terms. That's what him and Crowley are saying. And to do that, you have to embrace antinomianism, which we've talked about on the show many times. It's saying that you have to reject the social construct and the social programming, i.e. the church, and destroy the ego so that you can make contact with these entities so that you can become God. To do God's will, or I'm sorry, to do your own will, not God's will. And of course, you got all the adrenochrome stuff and Shunamitism that ties into this, which, you know, you already know what adrenochrome is, and the claim is that they're pulling, it's a drug extracted from pituitary glands, and you know, there's all these leaked emails and coded language, and you know, a whole idea is about harvesting energy from the kids, which not all that different from the sacrifice ideas of Moloch and the Canaanites and things, you know, drinking blood and cannibalism and all this stuff. So. And Shunamitism, again, same idea, pulling energy from kids. I don't know if osmosis is the right term, but King David apparently practiced this, where they would sleep with young virgins, and supposedly that would invigorate one and make them live longer. So now we move on to Lil Nas X, all right? We're going to move on to part two of this show. And we've picked on him many times in the past. Specifically, he had... You know, because he's the guy who did the Old Town Road song that everyone listened to for a bunch of times. And my whole beef with the guy, because I actually liked the song, but he had a giant audience that was kids. And he took that and he said, oh, I got primarily a children's audience. And he wrote a book called, I think it was C is for Country. And it was like a kid's book, right? For toddlers, little kids. And within a month of that book release, he releases a video for Montero, which is where I had, and this is where I had beef with him. He started selling these satanic shoes that had human blood in them, and he had video for Montero with all this Gnostic occult messaging in it. And he was talking about playing with the balances of androgyny and the forces of Eros. And I said, when I did a show called Lil Nas X Montero, Shoes, Satanic Symbolism, and the Gnostic Occult Secrets. And in it, we talked about specifically Lil Nas X being initiated as a false god. All right. So he's continued down that path. He got a lot of flack for it. And he was pushing all this stuff, like twerking on the devil and all this stuff, right? And everyone was like, what the heck? Come on, guy. Like, some people thought, you know, because here's what happened. He releases Old Town Road. Pretty much everyone accepts it. And then he's like, okay, I write a kid's book. Pretty much everyone's like, okay, yeah, that's the Old Town Road guy. Sounds good. And then at some point, he's like, oh, and I'm gay. And I think some people probably fell off. You know, there's people out there that don't like the gays. And he lost some audience who was like, hey, man, leave your sexuality out of this. Then he starts twerking on the devil and selling pentagram blood-filled shoes. Then you had a whole bunch of other people who were like, wait a minute, that's where I draw the line. Like, you can be gay, I don't care about that, but now you're pushing Satanism on the kids? So he's a very controversial figure. And he is upping the ante. And I don't think any of these songs gain traction on the radio or whatever, because I haven't really heard them. So maybe this album is a flop. I don't know. But he posted, let's go through his latest effort, okay? He posted on Instagram to announce this new album he had coming out. And what's interesting was at the time he had an all-seeing eye as his Instagram profile image, which I got screenshots of all the stuff I'm going to talk about. I'll post it on my Instagram, you know, when this episode releases here. It might be two posts because there's a lot of images. But if you look close, it has a symbol in the all-seeing eye of the profile image. And you're going to see that symbol in the first video off this new album called J. Christ. Right, that's where we're going with that. But anyways, yeah, he deleted all these posts since then. So, because I think maybe it wasn't well received or didn't get the controversy he thought it was going to get. I don't know. But he deleted all of them, but I got them. I took the screenshots when they came out because I was prepping this analysis. So on January 8th, he posted a photo of him on the cross as Christ. He said, my new single is dedicated to the man who had the greatest comeback of all time. He wrote, J. Christ, January 12th, 2024, be there, link in bio, meaning he's going to release the video for a track that he calls J. Christ. But on the surface, when you look at this, you think, oh, a single dedicated to the man who had the greatest comeback of all time. He had a change of heart. He's a Christian now. Wrong. Fake news. Let me explain why I believe that. Because look, I'm with the, you know, the what they taught me in Orthodoxy is people always get a path to redemption, okay? You have to forgive them because God will forgive them. If you want to go this route, if you want to go Christian warrior route, you gotta forgive everyone. You gotta give everyone a path. And if that's his path and he's like, you know what? Like, I was worshiping the devil and all this stuff, and I regret that. And yeah. I love that. That's a good story. But that's not what he's doing. He's messing with us. He's trolling us. So, and you know me, I don't really care. It doesn't bother me at all. It shouldn't bother you. Who cares what these clowns are doing? January 9th, he releases a photo on his Instagram of him as an angel in white holding these massive guns, which I'm going to guess is a commentary on American culture. You already know where we're going with that. I don't need to explain that. Then on January 9th, he wrote, I know some of y'all hate me right now, but I want y'all to know I'm literally about to go to college for biblical studies in the fall. Not everything is a troll. Anyways, I'm a student again. Let's go. And the letter he posted was his acceptance to Liberty University for the fall of 2024, signed by Jerry Falwell. Now, Jerry Falwell Sr., he died in 2007, so I don't think that's his signature. His son, Falwell Jr., was the president of Liberty University until 2020. So that's not his either. He is, in fact, trolling. Which, it's a funny story, because I saw the documentary on Hulu. It's actually pretty entertaining. Because Falwell Jr. resigned because he got caught having the pool boy shtup his wife while he watched from the solo chair in the hotel room. And, you know, but, you know, and that's the issue here. There is a hypocrisy of this message. The, you know, the traditional biblical Christian marriage and, you know, anything that falls outside of missionary is blasphemous. And he supported that sort of worldview, right? very sort of, I don't know, evangelical Baptist point of view, I think. I don't know. I don't go to those churches. Meanwhile, he's doing straight up hardcore cuckolding. So, anyways, yeah, the Hulu document is pretty funny. If it would be funnier if Falwell hadn't been weaponizing people to hate others, right? For their sexual preferences and inclinations, right? Because, like I always say, it's like, we're not here to judge. If Christ is at the center of your heart and you're in a marriage where you both agree that that's what you want to do, I don't know. Who cares? But that's not the way Falwell and his people were. They were very fire and brimstone. You know, if you're not doing missionary position to procreate, you're burning in hell. And meanwhile, this guy's doing crazy next level cuckolding with the pool boy. But the point here, the letter is clearly fake. It doesn't say Falwell Jr. or Sr. It doesn't matter because neither one of them have a role at Liberty University. So yes, he is mocking Christianity there. Then January 15th, he drops an apology video trying to say he knew people would be upset because there's this whole religion thing and he's not trying to mock Christianity. And he's like, I assure you it's not a mockery. And then there's a communion video of him eating crackers and juice to lighten the mood, supposedly. He had made a TikTok of him just, you know, scarfing down wafers and juice cups in a church, which is very blasphemous. And he apologized that I didn't understand the idea of transubstantiation. And to be fair, maybe he doesn't. And he said he didn't mean it as a cannibalism thing, which I think is what we see in the J. Christ video, which we're going to go through next. But the transubstantiation thing is, you know, and it is a subject that's difficult to understand. It's the idea that the priest can mystically, I mean, dare I say ritualistically through the liturgy, and this is the Orthodox understanding of it, the priest and the sort of prescribed liturgy can turn bread and wine into the blood and body of Christ. Like, literally. Like, it's the transubstantiation. It's a miracle. Which is why in the Orthodox Church, you do the liturgy, and if you're prepared for communion, you go and accept communion. And if there's any of the communion left over, the priest has to consume it. Like, you would never, you know, throw the leftovers down a drain or out in the grass or anything like that, because it's, you know, it's a very sacred act. So it's very blasphemous to watch that. Then on January 17th, he releases a TikTok of him saying the Montero video is not promoting Satan, and neither is the new J. Christ video that's dropping real soon. Or whatever. Then January 19th, he talks about this HBO documentary coming out. He says, some people see me as a satanic devil. But then he calls it Long Live Montero, which is all related to that Satanism thing, which we talked about on that episode. I didn't watch the documentary. I could care less. But I should, to be fair, to see what he says. I've got it on cue, but I got a lot of movies. I got a lot of Twin Peaks to watch, a lot of movies to watch. Because if you recall Montero, the video was called Montero, Call Me By Your Name, and it had the devil twerking scene. And Montero is actually Lil Nas X's real name, Montero Lamar Hill. And he was named that because his mom wanted a Mitsubishi Montero but didn't get one. So, fine. But in that Montero, Call Me By Your Name video, Montero is more like a Garden of Eden. And he shows on the video the embracing of the serpent, which is the devil, and the birth of evil in the video. And, you know, I've read that he said that he interpreted his gay sexual preference as a sin, which, yes, a lot of Christian faiths support that idea. It's actually one of the things that I struggle with trying to agree with that kind of thing. Because Orthodoxy very much is against, they won't give, they came out with a, what do you call it? I don't know. Come out with a ruling that they won't give married gay people communion a few years ago. Because it's like a commitment to the life of sin, according to the belief system. And Lil Nas X's video, he says he's embracing that idea, meaning he's rebelling against religion because of this belief. And he said, I'm going to sin as much as I want now. And that's the shame about this whole thing is that's what happens when religions plant their flag in that sand. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Look, I've never read the whole Bible. I'm certainly no theologian. I struggle with adhering to the most basic of Christian fundamentals that I'm supposed to. But the problem with that is you drive people away from Christ, and I don't know. Is that worth it? I don't know. It's tough, right? I know I'm not supposed to get tattoos, but I don't have people coming out saying, well, you can never have communion because you have gotten tattoos, and it's too late now. And I think, man, that really puts a wedge between me and God, doesn't it? Tough conversations, right? But what was interesting on the Montero video, if you looked closely, as I did back then, on one of the trees, if you zoomed in, you saw the unicursal hexagram, which is, you know, a very Crowley symbol. It represents the pentagram, like the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram and the hexagram together, because the pentagram represents the microcosm, Earth, whereas the hexagram represents the macrocosm, which is the universe. And that's the whole idea of magic, is to toy with the energies between the two, right? There was also a Leviathan cross in the video, which is, of course, the satanic symbol. In alchemy, it means sulfur or brimstone. But anyways, we talked about how there was this quote from Plato's Symposium in the video, which tied into concepts of androgyny. And Joseph Campbell's talk about the divine androgyne, which is the main symbol that we're going to find in this new J. Christ video. And we're going to go through the video real quick, and then we're going to wrap it all up and talk about how the symbol is the symbol for Baphomet, the goat with the bobs. So this J. Christ video, the song, the lyrics, he says, it's the lyrics are about how he took a year off and now he's back and he's the best. And he says, back up out the gravesite, B word, I'm back like J. Christ. Uh-oh, I'm in my prime. Let's go, let's take him on a high. All right, let's talk about the images. And I'll put these on the Instagram. First, it opens up. It's got the holy gates to heaven with the Montero symbol, which we're going to unpack later to be a satanic symbol. It shows him cooking up body parts in a cauldron in hell, of all places. This is the cannibalism, the spirit cooking stuff. This is exactly what we were talking about earlier when I say some people claim that the fruit from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil is actually eating flesh. Cannibalism. And again, it's about embracing the antinomianism to make contact with the Holy Garden Angel to become God. That's what he's doing. Then there's this gladiator-type scene, and there's an eight-pointed star in the background. That's a reference to the Star of Ishtar or Semiramis, as discussed in Kubrick's Code. It shows up oftentimes throughout the Eyes Wide Shut, as we'll discuss in my Las Vegas lecture, which I hope to see you there. Then he's wearing the satanic shoes, and they zoom in on it. It's got an inverted cross on it, on the tongue, and then it says Luke 10:18. Oh, okay, well, let's take a look. Let's go to our trusty Orthodox study Bible, Luke 10:18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory, but let's look at the explanation because this is a study Bible after all. He said, I saw Satan fall describes an event that took place before the creation of the world. Five times Satan set his will against God. And that's what this is all about. It's about aligning your will towards your selfish desires as opposed to God's will. And we'll come back to that in a second. They show him in the video, he's on an inverted cross. And I saw this whole TikTok of this guy with a tattoo of an inverted cross. And he said, you guys aren't even real Christians. You don't know what the cross of St. Peter is. He did it in humility because he didn't find himself worthy to be on an upright cross. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. But then he has like this serpent wrapped around it. And I'm like, well, again, it's about intention and will. Sure, if you have an inverted cross, like maybe that's your way, but know that Satanists also use that, right? And if you've got a serpent wrapped around it, I mean, that makes me think you're a Satanist. So don't play the games, right? Just be about it or don't be about it. Then they show him shaving the sheep, which ties me into that last point, right? And this is a Freemasonic thing. They wear an apron with lamb's wool on it because it's a reference to them being the wolves and us being the sheep, and they're leading us to slaughter, right? That's what I don't like. I don't like the trickery. It's like, just be out with it and tell me what you're about. And then it finishes and it says, day zero, a new beginning. And I think he's referencing year zero, which is a concept about the gap between 1 BC and 1 AD, which there's no year in between. There's no zero year. And the Buddhist and the Hindu calendars, they believe that the final age of the Kali Yuga starts at year zero. But in conclusion, let's wrap all this up. Lil Nas X's J. Christ video, he swears up and down he's not being disrespectful. But he 100% is. It's heretical. And again, like I always say, like I respect the Satanists and atheists more who just come out right and say it. Like, don't play little games and say it's one thing and it's really another. Like, it's heretical. And if it's not heretical, it's certainly on the edge of it. But, I mean, calling Jesus by a nickname of J. Christ feels a little disrespectful. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. It's like those shirts that said, Jesus is my homeboy. I'm like, okay, it's fine. I wouldn't wear it because it feels like it's kind of on the edge to me. I don't care, though. It's not like I would call someone out or cancel Hot Topic or whatever. You know, and didn't Satan give Christ nicknames? He called him the Nazareth and stuff like this. Like, you know, Jesus is not your homeboy. He is God. Like, show a little respect if you believe it. If you don't believe it, like, I don't care. Do whatever you want. But if you're trying to live a Christian path, I'm like, And if Lil Nas X didn't already have this history, I maybe could give him a pass for misunderstanding, but his past makes me see through all this. I still think he's mocking God, and I understand it. Like, from his point of view, I don't think it's okay, but I understand why he feels that way, because he feels persecuted by Christians and people are mean to him that are Christian. And like, and look, trust me, I read the comments. Sometimes Christians are the nastiest human beings that exist, because Christians come at me constantly, and it's like, some of y'all are the worst people I've ever met. Like, you say the meanest things, and it's like, you are making a misrepresentation of the teachings of Christ. So, like, I get why he feels that way, because I can't imagine what he deals with. But ultimately, in the end, he's mocking God. And, you know, does Lil Nas X mocking God keep me up at night? No, not at all. I don't care what Lil Nas X thinks. In fact, I pray for him. I pray that this guy can find a path to God in however that looks. And I think Christians who condemn people like this and send him nasty messages and hate, you're just pushing him away from God. And like, you have to answer to that someday, right? It's like one of my priests told me. He said that the responsibility of being a priest and having a, you know, church full of people is pretty immense, because you're responsible for the souls of all these people who go there. So that's a lot to put on your plate. And yeah, I think as supposed Christians, we all have to try to walk that line of trying to bring people closer and not pushing them away, you know? So all these people who push all this nasty hate stuff, it's like, you're just pushing away, and like, you know, there's a judgment to be had there eventually. And look, he's a gay black man. So, I mean, I can imagine what this guy goes through. I don't blame him, right, is what I'm trying to say. But, and like I always say, it's like, if you want to be Christians, you have to treat people you disagree with or people you think are sinning, you know, with love. You're not supposed to push them away. But I think he's just being sensational. So we all talk about it, and here we are talking about him. Now you might even watch the video. So in a way, I'm supporting this bad behavior instead of just ignoring it, which is probably what we should do. But these celebrities, on the other hand, they're absolutely obsessed with fame. It's a drug. They need to be in the conversation. They can't. they want to act. Any attention is good attention to these people. They'll literally do anything for it. It's like a child. But that symbol, that's the most important thing I want to discuss. I think it's the Baphomet, because let's recap the Montero analysis, and then I'm going to let you go. The real message of the Montero isn't just to say, oh my God, look, Satan twerking and stuff. The real idea is about the Androgyne. And if you look to Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces, he says that androgyny is an idea of the first form of mankind before the introduction of duality. This is a very occult concept. In the teachings of Kabbalah, you know, the Jewish mysticism, as well as some of the Gnostic writings, it represents the idea is that the Word was made flesh through the Androgyne, which was the state of Adam when he was created, before the female aspect, Eve, was removed and introduced as another form. And among the Greeks, we had the hermaphrodite, which was the child of Hermes and Aphrodite. But with Eros, the divinity of love as well. So he says in here, he says, let's see, let me read you from the thing. But Eros too, the divinity of love, the first of the gods, according to Plato, were in sex both female and male. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The question may arise in the mind as to the nature of the image of God, but the answer is already given in the text and is clear enough. When the Holy One, blessed be he, created the first man, he created him androgynous. The removal of the feminine into another form symbolizes the beginning of the fall from perfection into duality, and it was naturally followed by the discovery of the duality of good and evil, exile from the garden where God walks on earth. And thereupon, the building of the wall of paradise constituted the coincidence of opposites. Now, doesn't it make all the sense in the world why the Montero, he talks about it as the Garden of Eden? Doesn't it make all the sense in the world when we see the Freemasonic idea of duality represented in the black and white checkered floor? It's all spinning on that same thing. So when Lil Nas X shows us that, let me cut to the, I'm trying to cut to the right part with where we're talking about. If you look at the crown of the Baphomet, okay, so let me link it to Satan here. When you look at the image of Eliphas Levi's Baphomet, right, with the goat with the bobs, you'll see on the crown, on the head, there's the two horns with the sort of pineal gland enlightened in the middle, all right? That's the image of what you see in the J. Christ video and in the Montero video. It's the crown of the goat with the bobs. And why is that satanic? Well, look to none other than Aleister Crowley. In Magic and Theory and Practice, he said, "The devil does not exist. The true devil is the god of any people that one dislikes." He likens the serpent to Satan, but not as the enemy of man, but instead the perfected androgyne or Baphomet of perfection. And they also call this the rebus in alchemy. It's this perfected duality. And that's what a lot of these occultists are constantly pursuing, is this perfected duality through the androgyne. And it ties into a lot of the occult beliefs of going back up the Kabbalistic tree of life and towards the perfected state of the first Adam as the androgyne. So to wrap it all up, when Ryan Garcia was out here talking about all this weird stuff about messing with kids and Bohemian Grove and cannibalism, it's not too far off the path of what Lil Nas X shows us in the J. Christ video. It shows us a lot of heretical things, even shows us some cannibalism, and he shows us the Baphomet, because that's what this is all about. It's all about embracing Satanism, but baking it in a sort of way that we don't really see it coming, which is why we have to look at the symbols and try to understand what's going on a spiritual level, because I feel like they subscribe to the ideas of Eliphas Levi and his magnetic chain of pushing a lot of these symbols into the environment, and eventually it'll take on an energy of itself. And I think that's what that's all about. So thank you for joining me. I might watch the Ryan Garcia fight, just out of curiosity at this point. I don't know how much a pay-per-view is anymore. It's probably $150, which I can't afford. I'm not doing that. But if you watch the fight, let me know if you like it, if you enjoy it. But thank you for supporting the show. I never take you guys for granted. I live in anxiety, all right? I want to make you guys happy. Thank you for sticking around. This is the monthly bonus show for April. And like I said before, we're just to reiterate, because I had someone who was confused about this. Every month, you get a bonus show that the free feed losers don't get. You are also getting the Twin Peaks episodes on top of all the other episodes. Those are a labor of love. I'm throwing them into the loop as well on top. Because I had a couple, you would be shocked. I had a couple people leave and they put it on the thing. They were like, I hate all this Twin Peaks talk. And I'm like, look, I'm still giving you the roughly four free feed loser shows. The four shows a month and the bonus episode and the Twin Peaks stuff just because I love Twin Peaks. So you're not losing out on anything. But I appreciate you guys sticking around, right? Thank you for being a supporter, keeping the show alive. I appreciate you. Till next time, stay positive.